This is The Topic is Trek, Episode 2 for July 28th, 2017. Inside the Neutral Zone.
Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, the topic is Trek. Engage already!
Well, hello, everyone. Clinton here, one of your co-hosts for The Topic is Trek. And beaming in, as always, to join me are Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp. Hello, gentlemen.
I'm Chuck.
Hey, how you doing?
You cannot do a transporter with your mouth.
I can do a lightsaber, but not a transporter.
No, that is not a sound effect you can reproduce, unless you're the guy from Police Academy.
Well, that's
a Chewbacca. Wrong show, Craig.
Remember, the topic is Trek on this show.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I was doing the tractor beam.
That's not any better. I don't understand what's going on here. We're off the rails already, and there's no rails in space, unless you're on Space Mountain, when then there's a track. So.
Thank you for joining. The topic is Trek. Good night.
Well, how are you both doing this evening, gentlemen?
Wonderful, wonderful.
I'm well.
Ready? Well, why don't we just get right into it, because we got a lot of topics on the show. So we're going to jump right into subspace chatter.
Wow, that was loud.
On speakers.
And first up, we have an announcement about the Orville. Now, those of you who are following the shows coming up in the fall, the Orville is a production from Seth MacFarlane, and we're going to be talking a bit more about the Orville later on in the episode, but they announced that Charlize Theron will be a guest star in one episode of the upcoming sci-fi satire, The Orville, on Fox. Details of her character are being kept under wraps, hopefully not from her, so stay tuned. A bit more about that. Set 4 centuries from now, the Orville follows the obviously Star Trek / Galaxy Quest inspired adventures in the final frontier of the middling USS Orville. Its human and alien crew tackles the battles and politics of speed of light, galactic travel, and the workplace dramas that never change, no matter what century it is.
Cool.
So that's going to be premiering right around the same time as Discovery, by the way.
You know, I love Charlize Theron on Arrested Development. I thought she did a great job. Did you ever watch that?
I watched Arrested Development, but I don't recall Charlize on the show. So I probably
she was the one that she lived in little London, or what was it? California. It was a model community, kind of like the British community in California, and she was there. What's his name? Not Rick Moranis, but who was the other, who was his partner? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank myself.
Okay. Anyway, a side note, she was funny in the show and I loved her on it. She had like a mental disability. So she had, the intelligence of like a 8-year-old or 10-year-old.
Okay. This sounds like a character I can relate to. So
that's right. Anyway, she was great on that. Her comedic timing was great. So I think I could see where she might be really good on this show.
Okay. Excellent.
Well, Theron sounds like the name of a Star Trek planet to me. I think she'll fit right in.
I have a feeling that her appearance will probably happen, I'm guessing, whenever Sweeps Week is. That's just my guess.
Yeah, right.
Okay, up next, Craig, I believe you have the next story.
Okay, let me go back to my tab.
Already? or Coke or Pepsi. It doesn't really matter.
Tab. You want to start a tab, you got to buy something.
Computer, tab, hot. Anyway, so...
Ew!
So Star Trek Discovery, the Comic-Con exhibit, offers the best look at the series yet.
There was
a lot of pictures coming out from Comic-Con of not just the uniforms, but insignias,
weapons.
Yeah, weapons. There's the Star Trek or the Vulcan garb, excuse me, with the IDSC on there. Yeah, the weapons, the tricorders, all that stuff. Looks really cool. Here, I'll scroll back a little bit and read the first paragraph here. So while the trailer has been released and the cast and producers are preparing to introduce their entry into the Star Trek universe to fans at their Comic-Con panel on this past Saturday, there's already a treasure chest of information awaiting Trekkies just outside the convention center in San Diego at the Star Trek Discovery Gallery Takeover. The event being held at the Michael J. Wharf, how appropriate, Fine Arts.
Wolf.
I like his name better. Change the name of the gallery.
The gallery's changed.
I'm sorry, I did read that wrong.
Wolf, 359.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Never forget.
Okay, so the Michael J. Wolf Fine Arts. Actually, it would be better if it was Wharf. In the Gaslamp District allows fans to get up close and personal with props, costumes, concept art from the forthcoming series. During a private tour, the Hollywood Reporter was able to take a look at what the CBS Access series was offering Comic-Con attendees. And again, there's uniforms from the outfits for the Klingons, which actually I thought those looked more. You ever seen those horseshoe crabs? That kind of reminds me.
Well,
of that.
This is Klingon swimwear.
This is a bikini.
Yeah. And there's the Starfleet uniforms and the insignias. And I like how instead of the collar pips, they have them. Looks like they have their rank on the insignia pins themselves.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
I'm not so sure about this asymmetric zipper thing on the. At least they've got zippers, which.
Oh, where it goes up the side just so
yeah.
The question is, do they have pockets, though?
Oh, well, nobody had pockets since then, so they must have discovered they were a bad idea.
And apparently the reason that the costumes didn't have pockets is because people would stand around with their hands in their pockets.
With the actors?
So they said, no pockets at all.
Let's just do it with the pockets, and we'll have some productive Starfleet,
They're all stand-up meetings and no pockets.
If you read some of the placards next to the outfits, there's some serious development that went into these. I mean, in some cases, as much as like a real spacesuit, it's incredible the labor, the materials that go into these costumes.
And I must say that they do love their Delta shields in this part of the Star Trek universe.
Yes,
they do.
They're on everything, everywhere.
Hey, well, I was just watching Undiscovered Country, and right when Kirk gets on the bridge and they're getting ready to leave Space Dock, you could see everybody in their uniforms clearly on the screen. And, they got the Delta shield on their chest, on their belt buckle. And I was like, there's like 30 of them within view. Right there,
like they just got back from a Disney park.
This is one of those things that people are kind of upset about, because if you recall in the original series, the Delta shield was just in use on the Enterprise because each ship had its own insignia.
So
the idea that the Delta shield was generic to Starfleet really started with the motion picture on, and it's retconned in there that the idea is that it was in honor of the fact that the Enterprise actually finished its 5-year mission, that they kind of shifted over, that Starfleet started to use the Delta shield for everything. So the idea that you have the Delta shield in normal use already in this part of the story, this part of the timeline, is like, what? That's not right. So one of those things you have to let go.
Because some other ships had like a star pattern and Yeah, it was different stuff.
Mel Brooks had the Star of David. Jules in space.
But I always thought it was kind of weird in TOS. I was like, okay, why has he got a different insignia kind of thing on his shirt? But then it made more sense later on. I mean, I just didn't think about it much until, you know, in the movies, everybody had the same shield. It's just that, I don't know. Well, yeah, I would think that Starfleet would drive themselves crazy trying to come up with a new one for each.
Right. Well, it's kind of like having a mission patch for everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. That's what I was going to say.
Should mention as well that since we're describing all these things, that we do have show notes over at thetopicistrek.com. You can go and see links to all the stories we're talking about during this segment.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's move on to our next story that's also from Comic-Con.
Adam Savage turns the Star Wars versus Star Trek debate into the most depressing moment of Comic-Con 2017.
All right. Sounds like fun.
Thanks, Adam.
He was actually at, he did his incognito thing as a sidebar. He did incognito as a fully dressed suit of armor. And yes. Did a really wonderful job. There's a video out there if you want to watch that. He likes to go to these cons incognito, particularly San Diego Comic-Con. But you know, you can only go as a Wookiee so many times.
Yeah, right.
At this year's San Diego Comic-Con, John Hodgman hosted Sci-Fi's Greatest Debate, where Orlando Jones, Aisha Tyler, Adam Savage, John Barrowman, and IO9 co-founder Charlie Jane Anders debated a variety of classic nerd conundrums. And somehow, Savage's answer to the eternal Star Wars or Star Trek question brought down the whole room.
Be careful what you ask for.
There were many shining and quotable moments from the panel, and Tyler saying that Ben Affleck's Batman would defeat King Kong by staring deep into his eyes to Anders' answer to Marvel's comic versus DC comics with, "Batman only wishes he was as cool as Squirrel Girl."
Right. Zing.
The problem began when the question, which franchise would you eliminate from existence? Star Wars or Star Trek? That was asked. Barrowman's suggestion that they eliminate only certain movies from both was summarily rejected.
I don't know. I got a couple of movies I'd reject.
Each of them should have some movies ejected. Yes, but that's not the answer they were looking for. Savage took the position that Star Trek should be eliminated to the boos of the entire crowd. Here's his explanation. Star Trek lures you into a false sense of positivity that the world can be a utopia, and recent events have proven it cannot. Star Wars' dystopic vision is far more realistic and prepares our children for their future. Ow.
Yeah, I can't imagine how that would bring the room down.
Actually, I kind of disagree with that a little bit. I mean,
well, I do as well, but go ahead.
Yeah, look at First Contact. All right, so... Picard was on his high horse, and then he realized that he was having the feelings of revenge and everything else. He's not, humanity's not perfect even at that time. So he had that realization.
Well, I think it's also a case of, if you're looking at it that way, do you want something that affirms dystopia or inspires to utopia? You know, I mean, our movies and television shows meant to just say, yeah, this is life, so deal with it? Or are you supposed to be motivated by it? And I don't think that everything in Star Wars is dystopian, and I don't think everything in Star Trek is utopian, but I just don't see why you'd want to eliminate the thing that is, by his admission, is something that makes you strive to be something better and greater than that.
I would agree from the standpoint, we've talked about this before, which of the two franchises has inspired scientists, has inspired engineers, has inspired more people today than the other? Clearly, in my mind, it's Star Trek. You know, you've got the people who were working on the Motorola Razr phone say, hey, we were inspired by Star Trek communicators. We've talked about all these inventions and technologies and even forward thinking. You know, we are trying to work on transporters. Hey, we can transport a particle from here to there.
Yes.
Not a full body yet. We're not turning anyone inside out, but hey, we're working on a transporter. I haven't heard any plans of people working on Death Stars, lightsabers, or anything from Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, people do work on lightsabers, and I mean, I'm not just talking about the ones that are, you know, the
tubes of voice. Yeah,
you know, I do know that people are trying to figure out how that would work in the real world, but I think that the possible problem with that is that Star Wars is meant to be more space fantasy, and doesn't necessarily, and not like Star Trek is completely this way either, but doesn't try to take its science that seriously. I mean, you can argue that Star Trek does a lot of technobabble as well, but I think that it tries to more frame things in a, okay, people can do this and space can do that, and we can't do this or that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think Adam, you're wrong.
Come on and argue with us if you listen to this.
Yeah. Right. Call the listener line when we get one.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. Well, let's move on to something a bit more fun than that. And this is an article from USA Today about 10 great sites for a Star Trek pilgrimage.
I love this. I believe
there's only 9 in this list. So it's one of those things where it's clickbait in the end.
Oh.
So we start off with the future birthplace of Captain James T. Kirk, which of course is Riverside, Iowa. I've never been to Riverside, Iowa. Anyone? Any hens?
Haven't been there, no, but I'm wondering whose house they stuck this sign in front of.
It's kind of like you're coming into town. Just, you know.
Oh, okay. Okay. This isn't like just in front of the mayor's house.
No. Well, possibly. Well, there is a house or something over there.
There is. It looks like in the background.
The next is a place we talked about on an episode of The Topic is Trek a while ago, which is Vulcan, Canada.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't been there. Bucket list.
No, haven't been there, but yes. Hopefully their things are going well and they're getting their new pool.
Hey, Leonard Nimoy actually didn't premiere the movie there, but he showed it there, right? Didn't he? One of the newer Star Trek movies.
I think so. I think you are correct. I think you are correct, sir.
On that. We should reach out to someone in Vulcan, Canada and get them on the show because we want to know how their Trek Festival went this past weekend.
That's Let's do right. a Facebook search, in fact.
The next one is a place I have been, which is the, I'll read this. It says, Trekkie extraordinaire James Colley used original blueprints to painstakingly recreate the original 1966 television studio set, complete with bridge, engine room, and sick bay. It's displayed at the Star Trek The Original Series set tour in Ticonderoga, New York. And I was there last year.
Oh, cool.
Was it last year or this year? Boy, time flies.
Yeah, I saw the picture of you sitting in the captain's chair.
It's really a wonderful tour to go on. You can do it anytime. They are officially licensed by CBS.
Nice.
To have this. You definitely have to make it a destination, though, because there is nothing around Ticonderoga, New York, other than this bridge set. I mean, I'm sure there are lovely things in Ticonderoga and the surrounding areas, but as far as I could see,
I was going to say, I think there are some national historical places there that you can see.
I'm saying if you're going there going, oh, I'm going to the big city and I'm going to do this.
No.
And no, it's not.
It's the most high-tech place there, huh?
Yeah.
Come on down and stop at the taco stand next door.
But it is an amazing place to go, and I recommend anyone take a pilgrimage there.
Yep.
Next up is another place that I have been, which is Vasquez Rock. That's in Los Angeles County. Of course, most famous for the episode with the Gorn, but it's been in countless episodes of Star Trek. It was in the Star Trek 2009 movie in the background to be portrayed as Vulcan. It's been in other episodes of the series.
Oh, yeah.
It has been in episodes of all types of television shows. They still use it in television commercials and shows because it's just such a very
iconic, alien. Yeah.
And they did that at the place. On the Big Bang Theory as well.
Exactly.
I was surprised. Yeah. I went on Google Maps and looked. It's actually a fairly large area. And
it is.
We're always shown this same one rock outcropping. But there's two. Much.
Actually, they're on either sides. There's a roadway that goes between them. And if you see the wide shot of Kirk facing the Gorn, there's a gap in between the two sets of rocks, and that is the road that you drive into to get to the place. It's very near the highway, but you can turn around and it looks like you're in the middle of the desert. We were wandering around a bit. The last time I was there, went with my wife, Bonnie, and we were walking around and I said, you know, this is desert enough that I need to watch out for snakes.
And so, oh boy.
Well, it was true. So I said, well, I'm going back with a Sandisk just to be on the safe side.
I thought you were making an MST3K reference.
Yeah, well, right.
I was, but at the same time,
for snakes.
What I was saying.
Yeah.
We'll have the entire list on here of the places to visit. Some of them get rather obscure, but
I'm half tempted. You know, I'm in Phoenix, and there is one, the Titan Missile Museum in Tucson, where they
I didn't know that was a real place.
I didn't either. But it's the last remaining intercontinental complex in the country. So I think I'm going to have to make a visit to the first contact site.
But does it have the missile still in it?
Or a prop of one?
Hopefully it's not armed, because that would be a very weird place to go.
It's waiting for Zefram Cochrane to take it out for a spin.
You got to go in and put your hand on it.
Right.
All right. So let's move on to our next story, which brings you up again, Craig.
Oh, let me go back to my other tab.
Again with the tabs.
I know. So for some reason, YouTube is full of remakes of the Star Trek credits. And I don't know about credits, but intro of the show.
I loved this article.
And some of these are funny. Some of them, a couple of them, I'm like, huh? Yeah, but they are pretty good. So let's see, the Star Trek Next Generation credit sequences are legendary for their mythic expository speech to the reassuring introduction to the large cast of likable characters. Their every word and shot is canon to the show's legion of superfans, while TV credits have gotten increasingly complex in recent years, to the point now that they're pretty much separate short films, I agree, worthy of individual analysis. There is something wonderful about these tone-setting uniformity of these old Star Trek TNG intros, the adventure serial sweep of the music, and appealing reintroduction to each character. So each one of these has a theme. Some of them, it takes off on Boston Legal.
Cheers, Cheers, Dallas. Those were probably my favorites.
I like where it comes up and it has a logo for 10 forward, like Cheers.
Yes.
That was great. Friends. The A-Team.
The one from
good.
Cheers even started out really good. The episode where Data's daughter, Lal, grabs Riker and gives him a smack on the lips.
Oh, yeah.
And Data walks in and says, Commander Riker, what are your intentions towards my daughter?
It's a deer in the headlights look like, what?
Your daughter.
Right. So some of them actually have a clip from the show like you would have if you were having an episode of this or that or the other show that leads into the titles. And other ones, it's just the title sequence with the music of that particular show and title sequence using clips from Star Trek, but positioning everything so it recreates Friends or MacGyver.
I liked the A-Team one because Barkley was Murdoch. That was perfect.
Yeah, they had to put Barkley in there.
Alrighty.
Yeah, there's a MacGyver, a Dallas one. There's a bunch of them.
Not a whole lot of narrative to this next one, just an announcement that episode 9 of Star Trek Continues will be airing on the internet July 30th at 12 noon Pacific time. If you happen to be in Florida at SuperCon, you can see it 7 p.m. Eastern time on July 29th, so you get a day's jump on everybody else.
Yeah.
So the looking title forward is, to
seeing this next week.
What Ships Are For? And at first I thought that was, what are little ships made of?
Oh, they're reaching for titles now. What ships are for? Space travel, you idiot.
No.
This is an old, was it Gallagher? He said, why is it that you put cargo on ships and ship, and ship via cars or trucks? They didn't make any sense.
Why do you park on driveways and drive on parkways?
Exactly. Why is it called a building when it's already built?
And what ships are for? It's to hold our replicators, damn it.
And smuggle tribbles. No, aliens. So looking forward to seeing that one. I do have to catch up on a couple of these. I missed them along the way. They sort of snuck up on me. I know it's been, about 3 or 4 years since they started this series. And I have some catching up to do. Okay, that's my weekend homework.
Yeah, I have a little catching up to do. I've only gone through it. They're up in episode 9, and the last episode I saw was episode 6.
I thought we watched 7 together in Dragon Con, Embracing the Winds.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, with
Air Dragon. That's right. Yes, okay. Yep. Didn't recognize it by the title. Okay.
So just to cap this story is that I believe they've got either 2 or 3 more episodes and they're done.
Right, because they're kind of, I guess it's sort of grandfathered in before the they're capped. I mean, they're already capped out because the cap now is 15 minutes and you could have essentially a two-parter that's 15 minutes per, and that's all you can do.
Yeah. I think since they had already had taken money from Indiegogo or whatever to support this, that they're going ahead and producing these with, I guess, I don't know about, I wouldn't say blessing, but Paramount and CBS are not doing anything to attack them. They just want to finish what they've agreed to do for their fans as far as getting the money and paying for the episodes and blah, 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 blah. So, which I'm fine with. I'm obviously more than happy with this. This is one of my favorite ones, honestly, web series that came out. This and the James Colley one was good too.
Yes. All righty. So, and once again, remind you that links to all this stuff in the show notes over at thetopicistrek.com. And the last story is just a quickie on, I don't know if you gentlemen have the Heroes and Icons channel on your various systems, if you haven't gone cutting the cord. But I have it available here on Fios, and they show Star Trek every night, or virtually every night, and they show the original series, then they show Next Generation, then they show an episode from Deep Space Nine, then Voyager, then Enterprise. They also, on weekends, also show the animated series, which, of course, there are far fewer episodes of, so they can't strip that every single night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
3 weeks. But they had a contest recently for the most valuable Trekker, and the winner was Gregory W. from Fontana, California. And they have a picture of him here wearing a Spock uniform.
Yeah.
Which he looks pretty good in it. And so he's a longtime fan of Star Trek. He says, I have been a lifelong fan of Star Trek. I started watching the original series on NBC as a child. Oh, so he's like me and have watched all the different and series. Yes. Throughout my life, each series and film has a special meaning to me, much like songs. Each one happened when important memories were created in my life, the birth of my children, my journeys around the world. I saw the voyage home in Singapore. So he definitely has his Star Trek cred. They also have links to pictures of all the other entries as well on that. So congratulations to Gregory W. for winning the contest, and for all the people that entered that. I was tempted to enter myself, but, I figured I would win. It'd be unfair to everybody
else. Yeah, give everybody else a shot.
Yeah, I thought that was only fair. All right, and that wraps up our subspace chatter.
You are in error. Oh. You are a biological unit. You are imperfect.
I disagree.
The dramatic music.
Yeah, I love that.
So we do have some tidbits of news from San Diego Comic-Con that I thought we would go over. I want to separate this out because this, a little spoilery perhaps for some people. So I figure if you're listening to the show and you don't want to be spoiled on stuff, let's just say if you want to skip ahead 5 minutes.
Hey, Captain, there be spoilers here.
Right. So we'll give you a second or two to go la 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 or fast forward a bit here, but don't fast forward too far because we'll be talking about other things. So real quickly, here's some tidbits from Comic-Con about Star Trek Discovery. Craig, you want to start us off?
Yeah, sure. So the Klingons will be speaking Klingon.
Wow.
Yeah, so you better pick up your alien languages if you're not up on Klingon. And it says there will be subtitles.
I don't know about the subtitles.
Otherwise, you just be going, I don't know what they're doing. I have no clue.
Well, you know, some in Star Trek, you know, they may start off speaking Klingon and they kind of either switch to English or they're just talking the King's English to begin with.
Especially if the ship is about to blow up and someone yells, get out of there.
Yeah, notice he doesn't yell in his native tongue.
Because when you're stressed, you naturally go to the other language.
Absolutely. And what's your little next tidbit there, Chuck?
Michael Burnham, played by Sonequa Martin-Green, has an interesting past. Her parents were killed when she was young, and she was raised by her adoptive parents, Sarek and Amanda. So, she's actually an adoptive sister of Spock. The producers assure us we will learn why Spock and his half-brother, Crazy Horse, I mean, Cybok, never
Burned
mentioned
across the
her.
Desert with a horse no name. I'm sorry.
Embrace your inner pain.
I mean, that only child Spock just seems to keep getting more and more siblings. It's amazing.
Well, did they ever... you know, they ran a B&B for a while and some people just stayed.
Hey, did he ever mention, of course, before Cybok, that he was an only child?
Great question. I'm not sure.
We'll have to research the archives.
I mean, we never saw it in the, I guess the animated series would have had some prequel stuff in it. So,
well, it did. There's a whole episode where he goes back and visits himself as a young boy. So,
yes.
And there's nobody else kicking around the house. So.
Unless they're in their room playing video games.
That's right.
And, you know, Vulcans live a long time. Maybe they only had one kid every 40 years, and it was Spock's turn. Everybody else, his older siblings were gone, or younger siblings weren't on their way yet.
Well, we will, hopefully we'll get answers. The like I said, the producers assure us there will be some answers there. Next up, Alien Science Officer Lieutenant, I heard it pronounced, I'm going to say for now, Saru.
Okay.
Played by Doug Jones, will have hooves and walk in a very unique manner. He demonstrated this during the Comic-Con panel. His arms are kind of back. He says he's trying to keep his center of balance. And so his arms are way back as he walks along on these hooves. It's definitely going to be a look.
Yeah. So the special effects guys are like, oh, come on, just give him regular legs. All right, so we already knew that Lieutenant Paul Stamets. Stamets, I don't know how else to say that. Actor Anthony Rapp will be an openly gay character, but at Comic-Con it was revealed that we will see his love interest portrayed by actor Wilson Cruz.
Nice.
Okay. Yes,
Jeff Russo. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, who also works. It's another crew member on the Discovery.
Oh, good, good, good. I'm keeping it in the family.
Sure.
Jeff Russo will be composing the music for Discovery. Russo, you may be familiar with his work on Fargo and Lucifer, among others.
That's good news.
And finally, the series will be one, or at least this season of it, will be one large story with very little in the way of standalone episodes.
Hmm.
And the producers promise big reveals and surprises along the way.
Kind of like Lord of the Rings.
Kind of like that. And also, hopefully, they'll be saying, oh, by the surprise, Spock has another sibling. No.
Well, I'll tell you, I like their, especially TV Trek, where there was, I mean, except with the exception of a few story arcs, that each one was their own story, because I can go pull it up on Netflix or whatever and just drop in and watch an episode rather than having to go, okay, we got to watch the whole series in a row, you know?
Well, I would say the one exception to that, there are, as you get later into Deep Space Nine, mm-hmm. it becomes a little harder to
more follow
if you weren't aware, okay, who are the Maquis and, mm-hmm. you know, who are the, you know,
the Jem'Hadar and the,
and you're trying to get through that last part of the story of the, especially the second half of the final season.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting while you were watching it as it was coming out. I mean, it ties the whole thing together, and I enjoyed that. I like series that have that overarching story. So that's what I'm looking forward to in Discovery.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just that, you know, with Star Trek, I like the different stories for each episode, because then you get to learn a little more about this character, or maybe focus on these two characters, and, you know,
One of the ways they're pitching this is that because it's one long story, they're able to take the characters and you're able to watch them develop in sequence. So if the character starts out feeling this way or is in this position, say in the crew, you're tracking in real time how that changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things, especially with the original series, that there really wasn't a lot of character development. And so the idea that you're able to go from pilot episode of Discovery to episode 15 and the character has changed somehow, I think will be an interesting take
mm-hmm.
on Star Trek.
No, I think it'll be good. Well, I go back to like watching Breaking Bad. You know, you start off with episode one. Everything was really connected throughout the entire run of the whole show.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it was riveting and kept you going from one to the other. So I'm down with it. I just like the episodic or the different stories for each episode traditionally in Star Trek. So I'm looking forward to it.
I'm just getting really anxious to see it now. You know, it's like the waiting should be done now.
How much do I have to pay you, CBS, to drop the episode now?
That's right. That's right. Just do it. You know, do it for the ratings. Do it for the children.
Did they show an episode at Comic-Con?
They did not. They showed the new trailer.
Yeah, like the 2.5-minute trailer. And you just going to throw in here that you can watch all of these through our show. Our show notes have a link to the YouTube panel that you can find. It's in five parts. It's an overarching story.
It is.
They're already starting.
That is one of the biggest panel I think I've ever seen. They must have had 10 people on that panel or 11.
Yeah, the number of producers that were on stage were equal to the number of actors who were on stage.
Just about. I think it was 4 producers and 6 actors or 7. It was.
It depends on whether you count Rainn Wilson, because he's also one of the actors, even though he was the moderator.
No, oh, stop. Stop.
Stop? Okay.
Next topic.
All right.
Hey, by the way, I'm sorry, before we move on. One thing I do like, you know, you were talking about, that's why I want to see the episode already. So, you know, when episode one comes out in September?
24th.
September 24th.
Yeah, that immediately after that, their part one and two, or the episode two, will be on the CBS streaming. So you can watch both episodes in one night.
Well, I believe what they're doing, I could be completely wrong. It's been a while since I read the article. I can't remember. Are they doing just episode one or episode one and two on CBS and then the rest are streaming? I can't remember if they're showing.
It's just episode one on TV.
Okay.
And then that same night, episode one and two will be on CBS All Access.
Okay. All right.
That's what I was like. Yes, at least I can watch two episodes in a row rather than having to wait another week or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And then watch them again because we have to do our research. So
I know. It's going to be gruesome.
It is. Somebody's got to do it, though.
I have to spend more money on my hobbies.
Mm-hmm. Better run it by your CFO.
For $7.
All right. So let's get to our main mission topic. And this is where we try to take a Z-minus 10,000 meter dive into one subject and try to stay on course if we can. So my the topic this time around is, does it make sense that before they even air, there are some fans out there that are claiming the Orville, which we talked about earlier, is more Star Trek than Star Trek Discovery?
How do you even know? How do they know that which is which when Discovery isn't out? The Orville isn't out. It seems like somebody's not... to quote Spock, insufficient facts always invite danger.
Hey, collectively, what have we had between both shows? We've had about 7 minutes of footage to see. Okay. Of a, you know, 3 or 4 minute trailer for Discovery and a 2 for Orville. How would you, how would you know?
I feel like some people are just looking at these from what I've been reading, saying, well, you know, it's bright. And it's obviously got some humor in it, where Star Trek Discovery's trailers all seem to be just dark and looming and, you know, dystopian, to use Adam's word. And that's not really the true thing. And they've hired whereas the Orville has hired people that have worked on Star Trek before. And Seth obviously is a huge Star Trek fan. So they're, as you say, they're basing it all on just a few minutes worth of trailer for each of them, which to me, trailers are probably one of the worst things to judge things by, because a trailer will show you, well, first of all, it could show you just all the best parts right up front, or it could be a really lousy trailer for something that's really good.
Yeah. Get back to your question, does it make sense? No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I just feel that there are people out there that are down on Discovery, not having seen it, and we've talked about some of the reasons on previous episodes of The Topic is Trek about why some people may view Discovery one way, but I don't think that just saying, oh, well, the Orville is obvious. Well, the history of doing parody science fiction has a really rocky... But how many people remember the series Quark?
I do. Garbage collectors.
Yes, exactly. Richard Benjamin was the star of that. Series that just came and went really quickly. And
we were hungry for sci-fi back then, Craig.
No kidding. Quark. Why do I never?
You don't remember Quark?
I'm gonna have to go look it up, because as soon as I see it, I'll probably be like, oh yeah.
You either saw it or you didn't. That was pretty much it.
I did.
We don't know.
I was hungry for Star Trek or sci-fi period, and I remember thinking, I mentioned this on Technorama before, where after seeing Star Wars, then in Pizzazz magazine, I don't know if you've seen Pizzazz magazine. It was a magazine that Marvel put out, and in it they had a 2-sheet spread. It was a picture of Starbuck and Apollo shooting at a Cylon, and I went, wow, there's more Star Wars going to be on TV. You know, I thought it was going to be a ripoff of Star. Actually, I thought it was going to be a ripoff of Star Wars, because a Cylon by itself looked like Darth Vader. You know?
Chrome Darth Vader. He got bling.
And you see these two guys shooting at him, and I was like, okay, I'm down, because I want to see more sci-fi. So I know where you're coming from.
Yeah, and we got conned into the Star Wars holiday special.
But let's not go there again, please. Ever.
In there.
That was the fool me once. Quark was the fool me twice.
Oh, with Richard Benjamin.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Remember it now.
I do.
And they had the twins on there, right?
Yes.
It was,
co-creator of Get Smart.
Like that lends credence to it.
So I agree with you guys. I think that it doesn't make any sense. I'm not saying either of them are great. I'm not saying either of them are terrible. I mean, clearly Star Trek has the name Star Trek. It is Star Trek. No matter what else you're going to say about it being produced by the people that own Star Trek, it's Star Trek. Whether or not the Orville fits more the mold of what you think Star Trek should be, fine, that's open to interpretation of what you think Star Trek should be. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to see. I just think it's far too early to tell.
Yes.
There's plenty of room in my heart for both. I'll just say that.
Right. And it's just like Star Wars versus Star Trek. You do not have to choose. Yeah. There's no reason you cannot watch.
You do not have to go to jail either.
Yes. No, yes. Right. No, no, no arguments that lead to.
Sorry, I was taking a drink and almost spit it out on this microphone.
please.
I'm going to stab you when I'm next.
I'm trying to give our shows an arc here.
Yeah, each show relates to the other.
Throwback.
As long as it's not Arc 2, but that's another show.
Ow. What's the name of the show?
Topic is Trek.
Reel it back in, guys.
Yep. Reeling it back in. All right, so let's close out our main mission and head into our warp speed roundtable. And this, now that we're safely back on board, we're going to take one rapid fire topic in our warp speed roundtable, and everybody gets a chance to say something quickly in response to this. And it is, this time around, we're going to call it Planet of the Month. Whether or not we'll do this every month, I don't know, but I'm calling it Planet of the Month.
Okay.
So this time, I'd like everyone's opinion on this vacation choice. Would you rather vacation on Risa, as seen in The Next Generation and Enterprise, or on the Shore Leave planet, as seen in the original series?
And your answer must come in the form of a Donald Trump tweet.
Best vacation ever.
Huge.
So we'll start this time with Chuck.
This one's pretty easy for me. I'm going with Risa because the Shore Leave planet had that little antenna that could read your mind. That's even scarier than Alexa listening to me make conversation. I don't want a computer suddenly, grabbing my thoughts and going, "Oh, he's contemplating shooting someone. Here's a gun." Like, no, no, thanks. It was just a random thought based on a bad dream, based on a taco I had yesterday. Let's not invite that level of anarchy and chaos into this so-called vacation planet. There's a reason there's no animals on this thing. Like, there's a point. Risa, on the other hand, that's like going to the Caribbean and Vegas and hedonism at the same time. It's pretty good.
Well, I'm kind of screwed because I got a timeshare and it's only available on the Shore Leave planet.
Say hi to Finnegan.
That's why you don't buy those timeshares.
I tried to tell my wife not to get it, but
what do you say, Craig? Which would you choose?
If you want to get away from everything, probably the Shore Leave planet.
I disagree. You can't get away from everything because it keeps shoving new things in your face. look at that. One woman was just dreaming about Valentino. What was it? It wasn't Valentino. Who was the
Casanova or something? Wasn't it?
It was something like that. And all
Don
of a sudden,
Juan.
Don Juan. That's it. And he turns out to be like a serial killer. It's like, well, that's not a good thing. You know, she's having innocent romantic thoughts and they're turning it all around backwards. It's kind of like the genie in the bottle thing, man. When you don't get your three wishes the way you wish them for.
Well, I will go to Risa only if I can have Dr. McCoy check me out when I get back.
Oh, he's the one who's going to give you a Jamaharong.
I know, that's right.
Whatever. Actually, that is.
I still laugh about that picture I sent you guys when I was messaging you both the other day. we had Riker. Was he was he had the two girls on either arm.
Yes.
Oh yeah. He goes, Riker on Risa. You don't want to know the details.
I think just hanging onto one of those little wooden tikis at Dragon Con would be fun. Just yeah. Walk around with that thing and see what happens.
Can you order one?
Well, I am gonna go with the Shore Leave Planet.
You guys are crazy. Good luck. Well, you're both gonna end up dead.
You know, you can get one sort of thing on Risa, but you can get those type of things on the Shore Leave Planet plus everything else. I mean,
oh, so wait, who says there's you can only get one kind of thing on Risa?
That's all I've seen so far on Risa.
They keep bringing them drinks. You sit out in the sun. You can go on an archaeological dig. Although it's already been raided, but oh, that's okay.
Yeah, everything's R-rated.
If I decide I want a roller coaster, I want there to be a roller coaster all of a sudden. So, you know, just don't think I'm going to get that on Rise Up.
I think I view it as like Universal Studios theme park from hell.
All right, so we come down that two for Risa and one for the Shore Leave Planet.
No, well, I'm thinking, no, you guys both went Shore Leave. It's two, okay. Two Shore Leave to one Risa.
Shore Leave Planet wins.
I doubt that.
Hey.
Have fun.
All right, get in the car. In the car, kids.
Have fun storming the castle.
So that closes out our Warp Speed Roundtable. And with that, it's about time to boldly go that away until next episode.
Wait, what way? What is that away?
That away. Take a start of the right.
Straight on till morning.
Whoa, turn around, wrong way.
The GPS. I'm putting that in the GPS at some point.
So hit the theme, boys.
I love that song.
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you, so follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek, visit our Facebook page, or visit thetopicistrek.com. And be sure to check out the other mostly non-Trek-related podcasts that we do. That's Technorama and Comedy Forecast. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Greg, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek, don't put on the red shirt.
I'm not wearing one tonight.
TMI.